You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed for what you think counts and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Marty! You've got to come back with me!
Where?
Back to the future!
Wait a minute, what are you doing, Doc?
I need fuel!
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, when we think about relationships and we think about what relationships actually work and why, I think the one thing that we tend to overlook, the one thing that kind of, I don't know, gets kind of pushed or forced under the rug is the concept of timing. You know, I really think that timing is the most overlooked component in any relationship. I mean, timing, think about it, the timing. I think timing is kind of like what? Like music, music in a film. You know, I think that a lot of times when folks go to film school or they go to digital media school and they do like a video or they work on a project or a film project, and most of the time, you know what they forget? They forget the music. They forget the audio. They forget about how important the music is to the film. Because without the music, there is no film. Without the timing, is there a relationship? Bill, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing pretty well, Ashley. Now, how are you doing? You've had some allergy issues today, past couple days.
Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I'm not taking anything for it, though, because every time I take something for it, it either jacks you up and makes you a little like nervous, a little, you know, perturbed, or it makes me really sleepy, like extremely sleepy to the point where you can Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And you can take it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because you wait, and then the next morning, though, after you went to bed, you still feel weird.
Right.
I don't like that.
It's the same way with me. It just like turns me into a zombie or something.
Why is that?
Well, it's the decongestant. Not decongestant. It's the antihistamine. Antihistamines. Side effect of antihistamine is drowsiness.
It's sleepy. Don't drive.
Which
heavy
is why
machinery.
You should never take an antihistamine during the day. Always wait till nighttime.
Take 15 of them and then drive a truck of a size caliber that you never driven.
Yeah, not
throw
a good
that back
idea.
With a fifth that, of Jack
that,
Daniels.
That would explain some of the driving from trucks I see sometimes. That's why I take the train, Ashley.
That person took five Benadryl and drank a fifth of Jack.
Oh my gosh, Benadryl. I mean, and Benadryl's good; it works, but don't make any plans after you take that kind of stuff. It's because you're going to be out like a light.
Have a bottle of wine and a couple of Benadryl. Call me in the morning.
Man, if you're having trouble sleeping, that's the stuff to take. But
I give it to my dog, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, because my dog gets allergies, and on top of that, I don't want to give him any of those mood stabilizers or changers, because you know how dogs can take those type of things.
Right.
And Xanax and all that stuff just jacks him up pretty good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, and Valium, he'll just eat everything. I've never seen a dog with an appetite so much, except for a dog that's had Valium. I mean, he'll go after every single bag of dog food. He was at a vet's office one time, and it was like looking at a manic woman just going crazy over food. And we were having to move all the bags of food and all this stuff. He was jumping like head first into the trash can to see if he could find anything. I was like, this is ridiculous. But I give him Benadryl, but even one doesn't really work because dogs metabolize pills so differently. They metabolize what we would take, so like a Xanax, like a normal like 0.25 Xanax, I think dogs can take like 5 or 6 or 7 depending on their body weight, you know.
Right.
It's amazing how they process.
That's interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah, so it's really wild because I used to, my last dog was a Dalmatian, and he was very scared of the car. I had adopted him, and I had him for years, a very long time. He's one of the most amazing dogs ever. And he always got scared in the car because the only time he got in the car in the very beginning when I first adopted him was when he needed to go to the vet or when he had to have surgery. And he ended up having to have surgery because he had stones that formed because of his food. And we had to actually go in there and take them out of his bladder. And so that's obviously a painful situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So anytime he'd get in the car, he would freak. I mean, just freak out. Because
he knew
scream,
what was coming. Yeah.
Just want, at the top of his lungs. And he's like an 80-pound dog. And so we tried the Xanax one time. And my veterinarian was like, Ashley, you don't understand. I mean, a dog of 80 pounds of that size it would take 5 to 6 of those to give him. And I just wouldn't do it because that just stressed me out so bad. But it's really true because he was never, you couldn't sedate the dog because I was too scared of it.
Right.
I was too scared of that much. But, you know, it's interesting about timing, you know, and a lot like medication, too. It depends on how long it's been since you took the last pill.
Right.
All that depends on how it's working, as well as how much time you allow it to work. And sometimes we over-medicate based on that, not thinking. But timing is so important, and I think timing is one of the essential factors in all of life that we tend to overlook. We tend to overlook it much like we overlook when we are making a film or a video project. Let's just say like a family video collage.
Gotcha.
Okay, because, you know, you're making it, and so you see all the collages and everything, and then you show the family it, and it's really quite boring because there's no music. And, you know, for anybody out there, you know what I'm saying. I mean, you don't go to a film at the movie theater and watch a film with no music.
No, because then, I went to school to get a degree in radio, television, and film.
Right.
And that's one of the first things they taught us is, you know, forget the video part. The audio is actually the most important part.
It really is.
Of a, you know, documentary, a movie, you know, whatever else you're trying to make here. You know, people overlook that part, but when there's something wrong with the audio, you know it.
Yeah, because it allows, you know, music actually creates the emotion in any sort of film or show.
Absolutely.
And it creates how we're supposed to feel.
Creates the texture of the whole project.
Like, think about, like you know, National Treasure, for example.
Right.
You know, that film was interesting. That I guess there was 1 or 2 or 3 year old, my guess. But, you know, think about the first one and the second one. If they didn't have music, or if the music was different, put like Mary Poppins music in it, you know? I mean, because the music's like, it's not a film that you can watch when you're trying to go to sleep, okay? That's one of those ones that jacks you up, like The Bourne Identity, The Bourne Supremacy, all those films, like the Bourne series. That's a series of really jacked up music where it's like on the go, and it's like, you know, 200 paces per second,
yeah,
you know, and you're
real
like,
dramatic,
you know, and it's like, oh God, you know, somebody's gonna get caught, they're gonna get killed, oh no. But music is so important.
Well, Star Wars is the best example I can think of.
Oh, that's got good music, yeah. I mean, think about it if you had just nothing in there.
Or just random, you know, elevator music. It wouldn't have nearly the same effect. Yeah.
In walks Darth Vader. Dun, dun, dun,
yeah, exactly.
Na, 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 na.
It wouldn't be nearly as scary without
the girl from Ipanema as Darth Vader's walking out. Think about that. That'd be great. The girl from Ipanema, the new soundtrack for Star Wars. Come check it out.
Just doesn't have the same cachet, does it?
Or like porn music from like the 60s or
70s. Don't check a bow
now. People be like, so what's up with Vader, man?
Not that I would know that that's how porn music sounds. I've just been told.
People would be like, so what kind of mask or costume is he wearing? Is this some sort of sexual act? What are we about
to
see here?
He is wearing black leather.
See what I'm saying?
So
that would change the whole dynamic of that film.
Right.
Especially the fact that there's hardly any women there. You got Princess Leia,
who in the first one is pretty covered up.
And there's not a lot of women there.
Right.
So that would add a lot of dimensions to that.
It would.
That film.
It
yeah,
would.
The whole porn music with Darth Vader. That would be actually quite interesting. We'll have to make that here in the studio sometime and let other people see it. We'll put it on YouTube.
Well, and they also taught us in our film classes that it's not just music. It's just, you know, ambient background noise. You know, birds chirping, the sound of cars on the road. You know, crickets, you know, whatever, you know, feeling, whatever emotion you're trying to pull from your audience, then you have to have the sound to do that. I mean, they can watch the action all they want to and listen to the dialogue, but it's the music and the ambient background noise that creates the feeling.
Yeah, it creates the feeling and the emotion that's being, what's being said and what's being done on the film. And it really does create it. And, you know, I've been in that process, back in my old life, you know, of creating films and doing such like that. And I was always into the music side. Music was always my thing. It was always my passion. And, you know, I think that's why timing, over a period of time, no pun intended, I've realized what timing is about. And I realized the synchronicities, but also the small little changes here and there that kind of dictate what's going to happen, what's not going to happen, the subtle offshoots, the times when you want to make a to go out or you want to do something with somebody and it seems like they constantly can't make it at that exact time, and it seems like you're sitting there dealing and battling with schedules that never come to pass. And then I also think it's interesting timing is when something's just not maybe the right time. And so no matter what you do, it's never going to happen because it's not supposed to happen.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of times we think about that, and if we do ever think about it, we might think about it in a love relationship, but I really think that timing exists in every situation and every relationship in our life.
I agree.
You know, whether it's business, whether it's, you know, whatever it is,
just
business,
a friendship.
Love, friendship.
You know, yeah.
I mean, just whatever it might be, it's all about timing, and I think that we underestimate the element of what that means to us. And so when we return, we're going to be talking about the situations that we actually use and what's important with timing, as well as kind of the concept of when to know what it means and when to know when you're in the right timing and when to know when to kind of walk away. Because I think sometimes when we realize it's time to fold them, it's time to walk away, maybe not necessarily run, but it's time to move, might as well do that instead of waste our time. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
It's only a diary. Everyone knows diaries are just full of crap.
I know that. I was just buying you a new one. Time to make a new start, perhaps.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I am your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight's show, we're talking about something that's near and dear to my heart, something that a lot of us honestly take for granted or we don't even really know exists. You know, I think that's funny because there's a lot of underlying issues in our life that we sometimes don't give the right proper accreditation to. We don't necessarily see why it's important, or we don't see it until it's too late. And timing is one of those components. The timing of anything, the timing of how we meet people, the timing of how things happen, the timing of things coming together, the timing of relationships, the timing of choices. And I know a lot of people listening tonight has probably gone through the fact of being with someone that you love, and, you know, you ask them to marry you, for example, and the girl says no. And later on, you know, a year later, you find out she's getting married to someone else.
Oh, ouch.
And, you know, that hurts. Ouch. But when you find out, you know, the specifics, if you get close enough to find out, because sometimes people don't want to know, but normally you figure out that person, that they met each other months after y'all broke up, and it just happened to be the right timing. You know, a lot of times we take things personally, but is it really accurate to take them personally? Because I've met a lot of people in my past that I would have definitely married at some point. But when they asked me, I was too young. I wasn't ready. You know, and that goes in part not only relationships like marriage, but it goes in part with like business partnerships. You know, sometimes we can see something come together, but yet one person doesn't see it and they're not ready for it. And they might do things subconsciously that they are unaware of that really shows you by example that they're not ready for this type of commitment. And they're not ready to step up to the plate.
Well, and I agree, Ashley, that, you know, intellectually, you know, if you're thinking just with your head, that's probably what's going on. But I do think I can definitely understand why someone would take something like that for granted. So let's use your example. So some guy asked you to marry you or him, and you said no because you just weren't ready. Mm-hmm. Well, I can understand why he'd have his feelings hurt. It's because, you know, we're talking about relationships. By definition, that's personal. Okay.
True.
So, you know, therefore, it stands to reason that you would take things like that personally, you know, rejections or whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's true that you would take it personally. And a lot of times we don't really see the timing issue. Like, for example, a long time ago, one of the people that I guess, you know how we all feel like the first or second love of our life was like the love of our life.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that I really felt hook, line, and sinker for someone. And And after I saw, you know, years went by, we had seen each other, and then, you know, I got married, and they moved away, and then I remember years later.
Oh, I remember this.
You remember this?
Yes, I do.
And they came back around, and, you know, I mean, you know, feelings, you know, you still have feelings, but you can't act on them, you know, but you can still have feelings. And I literally was kind of like, well, you know, I'm married, and, you know, honestly, quite honestly, you know, you did have your chance back when we were dating.
Right.
And I'm glad that we didn't make that a reality back then, because my life would be completely different, you know?
Something similar happened to me.
Really?
You know, before I back in my hometown, before I moved to where I live now.
Yeah.
And it was a situation where I was single at the time, and the woman, she was married, but she was going through a separation. And you know, we'd been friends for a while, but it'd been kind of one of those flirty type friendships, you know, the type of relationships that sometimes men and women have that if you're not careful, it could lead to, you
sometimes
know, something
they
can
else. Be fun.
Sometimes they're definitely fun.
Very titillating.
And that's kind of the fun of it. You know, I mean, you know that, okay, you can only go so far with it, you know,
right.
but we took it a step further.
I like how you say it in such a deadpan attitude. We took it a step further.
You know, I mean, it happens. And it was a short, you know, little affair. But at the end of the day, she was still going through a separation. She decided to try to reconcile with her husband, which I kept telling her, we need to be careful here because, you know, I'm done with him. I'm going to leave him. Well, you know, turns out, you know, she wanted to give it one more try. Now, they end up getting divorced later on.
Oh, they did.
But so, you know, she put an end to it. And, it, you know, it kind of broke my heart, you know, a little. But
she was married, though, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay. She was still technically married.
Technically.
And then about a little over a year later, like I said, they'd gone through divorce. And so... I don't remember how, but we got back into touch. And so I invited her, you know, out to lunch, you know, just to catch up, find out what was going on with her. I meant it just platonically.
Sure you did.
No, I did. I scout's honor. I meant it platonically because, you know, by this time I'd moved on, quite frankly. And so she wrote me back and, you know, she goes, you know, I forget what she said exactly, but the gist of it was that I'm not ready to jump into another relationship right now. You know, I just went through this divorce, and I'm not ready. So I kind of took that personally, and my response back to her was basically, look, I don't know what you thought I was asking. I mean, you're rejecting an offer I wasn't making.
You're like, I wasn't hitting on you sexually.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just trying to take you out to lunch or something, whatever. Was that what it was?
Yeah, basically. Yes.
But really, altruistically, just trying to take
her to lunch. You know.
Feel bad for her divorce.
So she was rejecting an offer I wasn't making. So I guess I took that a little personally. And I think she took my response personally because...
What did you say?
This has been a many years ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember exactly what I said. But the gist of it was, like I said, that, you know, you're rejecting an offer I'm not making.
And then how did she didn't respond?
And she responded like, well, you know, see you around then. Yeah. And that was it. That we never spoken again. And I regret that, how that turned out, because it didn't have to turn out that way. I think both of us just kind of, you know, I guess she was in a kind of a raw, you know, emotional state.
Well, if you don't mind me kind of adding a little bit to this, I mean, in her situation being that she'd just gotten divorced and then you had asked her to go out or do something, there's two sides to the coin. One, she could feel like she would jump right back into a relationship with you since she'd already been with you.
Yeah.
And she could be trying to, like, keep her guard up. The second thing is that sometimes when people have sex with married people that their marriage is on the rocks, sometimes they subconsciously see that person as being part of the problem with the marriage. And so it's weird. It's almost like kryptonite.
Yeah, I mean, you still have... your foot in that door.
Sure.
You know, and it's not all the way closed yet. Now, you think I would have learned, but less than a year later, I got involved with the woman who would become my ex-fiance. You know, the one that I...
Oh, yes.
You know,
uh-huh.
The evil woman.
So you never spoke back to this girl, though?
No. I think...
Have you ever thought about...
Every once in a while.
Are you friends on Facebook?
No. No, I don't even know if she still lives in the same town anymore. After that, I think kind of an unspoken agreement. We just had both moved on. It was fun while it lasted. It was a short little time. You know, it's one of those kind of the roaring fire that burned out really fast.
Yeah.
And after that, it's like, it's time to move on. Because the timing, you know, just kind of bringing back to your point tonight, the timing
is everything. I mean, because if the timing was right, she wouldn't have been married.
Right.
Or they would have already been going through a divorce, or she would have already been on the other side of that divorce, and then she would meet you, then y'all would get together. And that's the key, is that the timing was just wrong. And I don't think you could have done it. I don't think you did anything wrong. I think even if you didn't have sex with her, even if you didn't take it to the next level, there still would have been the same issue later on. I think that sometimes when people go through those issues, it's like they feel that they couldn't make this marriage work.
Yeah.
And so they go, well, I can't make anything work. And so they go to this whole different stage and state of mind where they feel pretty raw, they feel pretty used, they feel pretty upset, and they just don't want to identify anything from the past.
Right.
And then sometimes also it could be in the heat of the moment, like you said, it could be just in the heat of the moment. It was all that, and now she's rediscovering or trying to figure out who she is.
And you know, and that's another point that I wanted to see what you thought of, Ashley. It's you were explaining at the beginning of the segment, you know, from an intellectual point of view, you know, I mean, where people are in their state of life, and you know, and all the other stuff that you said at the beginning of the segment. But again, you know, it's relationships are inherently personal, right?
They are.
So I think it's very difficult to use your intellect when dealing with relationships, whether it's a romantic, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a you know, business. It's inherently personal. So I think we tend to think with our hearts rather than our heads.
You know, what's interesting, though, is I don't always know if we're thinking with our heart, because I think if we're actually in the right space. And
or maybe,
actually,
maybe with another body part.
Yes.
But this is a family show, so.
I actually think that, because if you're in the heart space, and I've talked about that before, and you can listen to those shows on Spreaker or on iTunes or on AshleyBurgess.com. You go to Spreaker and just put in Ashley, you'll find me right there. You know, I talk about being in the heart space, and when you're in the ultimate real heart space, you actually see things very clearly. You understand timing and synchronicity like that. It's just part of it. But when we're thinking about winning a lot, I want to win at all costs. I want to win in this relationship. I want to win the damsel. I want to win this guy. I want to know what this person's doing when they're not with me. I want to know what's going on. And it's kind of the concept when you finally get the person, you're like, yeah. And that's why a lot of relationships kind of burn out quick, is because you finally get that and you go, that was a good chase.
I was going to say, the chase is better than the catch.
Oh, yeah. And men do it more than women, because women kind of actually misappropriate the chase with love. Okay, men don't so much, because the chase is sex. And so they actually see it for what it is, and women actually confuse the chase with love. And that's something that I have to deal with my clients on a daily basis, is that they confuse chase with love. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about the timing, more about what it really means in relationships, and how you can be aware of the timing's working or if it's not. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And you know, we're talking tonight about something that's near and dear to my heart. You know, relationships of all sorts have a tendency of working or not. And you know why most of the time these have a tendency of working or not is really based on timing. You know, timing is such an essential thing. I mean, think about time. Just think about the relation of what time is. You know, you wake up in the morning, you get up at a certain time. You have meetings at certain times. You got to meet people at certain times. You do this, you do that. Now, think about timing as a linear thing. Think about time throughout your life. There's certain times that things are right, and there's certain times that things aren't right. There's certain times where you need to be somewhere, and there's certain times you don't need to be there. You know, we've all heard of that, where people in the wrong place at the wrong time. We've heard of people being in the right place at the right time. Timing's a very interesting thing, and like music in a film, it's really underrated. A lot of us don't pay attention to it. A lot of us just take things personally when we don't need to be taking them personally. Yeah, they feel personal, sure. They feel really personal. But it's all about timing. It's about the right time with the right people at the exact right time. Whether it's an opportunity in business, whether it's a relationship, whether it's love, whether it's marriage, it's all about the right timing. And so I'd like to start now to really discuss how you can be aware of when the timing is right with regards to any relationship in your life. Because I think it's so important to have these keys, to have these discerning laser point focus on how to realize when something's right. Because I could sit there and tell you about timing all day long and twice tomorrow, but let's be able to figure out how we know when the time's right. I think the first thing that I always kind of think about is when we're both ready for this level of a relationship. Both people involved are ready for this type of relationship. Whether it's a work relationship. For example, Bill and I know too well certain things that we've dealt with in the process of the show.
Yes.
And certain things, certain people are just not ready to be involved. And they're
or
wonderful.
At least to the level that we would like for them to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't a hobby. This isn't something we do on the weekends in our little closet. This is a real, live, syndicated national show. It's not just here, there. It's not just we do it in the closet where we have a little bit of foam board and Bill and I stand in the closet together.
It's not something we do like on Saturday afternoon, you know, just as a hobby.
No, or you know, just Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or
whatever.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
No, we do this every day of the week.
Yep.
And we do this every day of the week because we're good at it and because we're going somewhere with it. And so sometimes we've brought people in that I don't really know if they understand the magnitude of it. I think that's some of it.
I think that's a lot of it, actually.
And I think also the other part is that they're not right for it. And they're not supposed to jump on. And so there's got to be times when one person's not ready. And when one person's not ready, you'll be able to identify that with certain various things that they do, whether they don't do things. So, for example, if you brought somebody into your business and you think they're going to be a great partner for you, it's not all about what they say, it's about what they do. So if they need to close up at night, let's say they need to close up at night, they need to close up, set the alarm, do all this. The first and second time that they don't close up and don't set the alarm and don't bother to tell you about it, that's a problem.
Right.
But a lot of times we let those things just kind of subside. Well, John was, he was really busy and stressed out. You know, this is just the beginning and things are going to get better. Well, let me tell you one thing.
It ain't going to get better.
It's good in the beginning. I mean, that's why they always say the sex is always good in the beginning of the relationship, because you know what? It's new. And when things are new, people are normally more attentive and more on call and on point. And eventually later on, they get more lazier. They get a little more lackadaisical. But if all that stuff's happened in the beginning, that's a sure sign that one person's not on the same level. And like I say, you can sit there and talk to your blue in the face, but how long are you going to try to bring that relationship in? How long are you going to try to make it work? I mean, you and I have done this before, Bill. In every part of our life, we've tried to make something work. And you know how that works? Not so good.
Nope.
Not so good. I mean, I've tried, even if it's going to a restaurant that I have to go to, that I go to, and I show up, and literally, I walk up there. And you know how I'm pretty charismatic, you know what I mean? So
yes,
normally,
you
we
are.
Just go in to wherever we sit down, and half the time, it might be free. You know what I mean? Or at least I get a good discount. But I've been in those restaurants where you walk in, and they tell you they got a two-hour wait. And I'm going to try to win this, though. Okay, I'm going to win this. And I'm going to try to do everything I can. And the next thing you know, we're all starving. It's been an hour. We're still waiting. And later on, I'm walking out to my car, and I realize the valet has hit my car against some sort of wall. Hasn't said anything, and now I have to deal with a damaged vehicle. I'm tired. I ate too late. And a lot of times we put ourselves in these positions because what? We got to win. Because we're in charge. Nothing else matters. We could have gone down the street to that restaurant right next door and eaten right then. Wouldn't have had an issue with the car. Everything would have been happy. But instead, I had to win, okay? And that wasn't going to be appropriate. Timing wasn't right. When you walk in and you don't feel like you're wanted, walk away. Go find somewhere that you are wanted. You know, and that applies to people, relationships of all sorts, as well as any type of environment. I mean, why wait? And I think it's really easy to see when both people are on par. And I know you've been in that in a relationship before where one person's at one level of intimacy, one person's at another level, and the two will not meet.
And I'll put this in another context too, because, you know, we're using romantic relationships as the, you know, basis of the discussion here. But like you said, it can happen in all sorts of relationships. So for example, for my own life, about, I'd say 10 years ago or so, a cousin of mine moved to the town that I grew up in. His job, you know, had a job opportunity. He transferred there. And, you know, we didn't grow up with each other, but we would meet up once or twice a year at grandma's house, you know, that type of thing. So we didn't know each other that well, but, you know, we're family. Oh, okay, you know, cousin, you know, you're in town. Well, you know, why don't we get together and, you know, just, you know, hang out or whatever.
That's cool.
And so we kind of hit it off. And, you know, so at that point, my cousin, you know, he was new to town, didn't know anybody else. And he was looking for a drinking buddy. You know, he's been known to hit the alcohol pretty hard. Carrying on kind of a family tradition there. We'll cover that subject some other time. But, yeah, so and he had just recently gotten married to a woman that I just didn't like at all. I thought she was bad for him. Turned out she was bad for him. So I think he was looking for a drinking buddy. And you know me. I mean, I'm just not that much of a drinker.
No.
And so, you know, as far as, you know, the timing being right there, I mean, you know, like I'd say for a good 4 or 5 months, I mean, we were just inseparable. And I think once he found out he wasn't going to get me to be the alcoholic that he wanted me to be, he just like, okay, you know, moving on.
It's like Jim Morrison back in the day, they used to hire people to drink with him.
Yeah.
You know, they'd find like guys that were like hobos and like boxcar wheelies and all this.
Right, right.
Guys.
Yeah, that's a good example.
And
yeah.
They would find guys to watch him, and they would pay them to drink with them. I mean, you know, and you're right. But see, the thing is that you could have played. So sometimes in our life, what? A lot of people would have done what? Step up to the plate.
Yeah.
I guess if I got to hang out with so-and-so, I'm going to have to drink.
And if I have to, you know, get so stinking drunk I throw up. Yeah, oh, well,
just
you know,
do it.
Price to pay.
Maybe that's who I really am. You know, and eventually that's not going to turn out well.
No.
That's not going to turn. Whatever happened to your cousin?
Well, he got health problems, of course, but which, you know, we all saw that coming. He ended up, again, with his job transferring.
And divorced.
Yeah, well, I think he ended up getting divorced last year. I think it just finally got to a point where he just couldn't stand it anymore. And he just recently moved to another town, fairly close to where my hometown is. So I saw a Facebook entry on him, and I, you know, wrote him a little message, and he wrote me back, and it was, you know, friendly, you know. But it's been a long time since he and I have had any sort of meaningful conversation that it's, you know, we're kind of strangers to each other now.
Well, it's hard when somebody wants you to be something.
Yeah, and be something that you're not.
And try to, yeah, and that's not fair. But at the same time, we have the right and the duty to step up to the plate and be who we are. But sometimes it can feel weird being that it's family, or if you want companionship, sometimes we break down, you know, and do what we're not really supposed to do. And that's kind of a hazard.
Yes.
Of things that we have to deal with in life, and to be able to step up and say, you know what, that's not really me. If you want to hang out otherwise, you know, and he wasn't ready to not be a drunk.
Right.
And that's the key.
So again, this is where the timing issue comes into play here.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready to be what he wanted me to be, and he wasn't ready to give that up.
Yeah, and so, you were never going to be ready to be what he wanted you to be.
No.
And so the only way that y'all could have really gotten along is if he decided he wasn't going to drink, or he was going to, you know, or he was cool with you not going crazy. You probably would have hung out with him.
I still would have. He could drink himself silly.
Yeah.
All I care.
But he needed someone so he didn't feel bad.
Right.
He didn't want to look at himself in the mirror and go, oh my God, look at this. And there's Bill over there like, I'm designated driver.
Most of the time I was.
You see? Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like if you're really drinking, man, you'd rather have a designated driver. I don't know. Maybe y'all needed a third. Y'all needed to get a boxcar wheelie.
I guess.
Have somebody that could out-drink your cousin and then see what happens. Hey, well, stay tuned. You know, when we return, we're going to be talking about more about how when you know when you're in the right place and how to know when it's actually benefiting you. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I could show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
It's you.
It's me.
I saw you in the street.
Are you Annie? Yes.
You're Annie?
This must be yours.
I'm Jonah. This is my dad. His name's Sam.
Hi, Jonah.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we've been discussing something that is really, for some of us, undercover. For some of us, we don't really see the relevance of it. But for some of us, when we realize what's going on, we understand what timing actually means in our relationships. And in our throughout our entire life, timing is essentially important. Much like music in a film, timing is the undercurrent. It's the underlying theme that allows things to work. And right before the break, we were talking about what it means to be in the right timing, to have the timing on your side, to know when timing's right in any relationship. And we were talking about how when both people are ready, when everybody's at the same level of a relationship and everybody's ready and everybody's putting in equally in the situation. You know, and I like to move forth and talk about how when you know when you're in the right place at the right time, it actually benefits all. It benefits all in the situation. And if I can give an example of that, recently I just met some people out of the blue, and it wasn't really out of the blue. It was amazingly how it was done, how we met. But every time I meet them and every time I have a meeting with them, everything goes almost like melody. Like, you know, everything from a parking spot to the time to every single thing that connects is so, it's such synchronicity and such timing that You know, even if you had any question, that you just got to go with it, you know?
Right,
and
right.
It feels good. You feel good. Not a lot of stress or strain.
So
you
it's
know?
Not something you have to think about. You just
no,
feel it.
You feel it.
Yeah.
And sometimes even if you're thinking about, like, how can this be that easy? You know what I mean? And I think on the flip side, when timing's not on your side, it's a very stressful time. The relationship seems very shifted. It seems very stressful. It seems very... almost to the point of just not good. Like, every single thing just seems so difficult to make happen. And if it does, it seems like people are on different levels. Energy levels could be different. Things could be appearing different. And maybe people don't have as much skin in the game. You know, and I think that's a big deal. And it's not going to jointly work. One person's going to feel that they're being used. And I think that's consequential when it comes to this, is that the timing, it has to be an equal opportunity. One person can't be doing everything and the other person just riding on their coattails.
Well, and, you know, for my life, Ashley, I had a former friend just recently, but you know, about a couple of years ago. And we were really good friends. We were hanging out together, you know, chasing women together, you know, all that kind of good stuff. And it became me... all about me trying to pull him out of the dark spot that he was going into because, you know, he was still in love with this ex-girlfriend that just mistreated him. And it was just sucking all the energy out of it. And it became about, you know, he expecting me basically to drop what I'm doing to, you know, listen to him cry and vent and, you know, whatnot. And, you know, he started using drugs. And, you know, at that point, I just had to cut him off. Yeah, the straw that broke the camel's back was that my mother came into town to stay with me for a few days. And, you know, he wanted to go out drinking. And I, you know, so I said, well, I'll tell you what, why don't we maybe plan for it in the next few days because my mom is in town, okay? So next few days comes and, you know, bang, we're on the phone. Well, let's go out drinking. Said, well, I mean, my mom is still in town. Can we wait till tomorrow night? She's supposed to leave tomorrow. Then he got angry and started yelling at me.
He started yelling at you?
You promised you'd go drinking with me. You know, in other words, he expected me to leave my mom alone. So I'd go drinking with him.
I got to go, Mom. I got to go drink.
You know, and for me, that was it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. I said, dude, if you expect me to leave my mom, you know, just to go drinking with you, then, you know, you are no friend of mine.
Well, the biggest deal is he's yelling at you. He's yelling at you.
Yeah. You know, it became all about, him and me. You know, it became about him expecting me to
drop everything,
to basically be all about him. You know, but apparently my whole existence was supposed to be about making him happy.
Oh yeah,
you
thought it was something else.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I knew.
What I mean.
No, I do know what you mean. But yeah, it's like okay. At some point, you know, you're going to have to meet me halfway here.
But you never did, right?
But you never did, and so that's when I cut it off with him. I said, dude, I really don't want to hang out with you anymore.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, so that's a good example. You talk about how your mom was there and he knew that, but he still kept pushing the envelope.
Yep.
And then eventually starts yelling at you. So, one, he doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about your boundaries, if there were any. He doesn't care about the fact that you have family in town. He just wants, he's like a kid that sees something at Target that he wants and starts screaming at mom because mom won't get it off the shelf and give it to him.
Right.
And it's like, you know, there comes a time when this isn't working. I mean, a screaming child is hard enough, but an adult that's screaming at you based on something that you can't facilitate at that time, that you've been there for them, is just wrong. I mean, there comes a time you're not getting anything out of this. You're placating them, and also you're getting stressed out in the process of not being able to go. A little resentful you can't go because they're stressing you out so bad, but at the same time, guess what? They should have never put you in that position.
Right.
That's the key.
That's how I feel about it, yeah. And so... You know, with me, you know, I tend to let the small things go until they build up to the point where it's just, you know, I just can't take it anymore. And so there will come a point where, okay, you cannot cross this line. This far, no farther. And at that point, that's when I cut that off. Not just the friendship with this guy, but, you know, also romantic relationships I've had in the past.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I tend to... you know, take too much and not stand up for myself until a certain point. And then that's when it's like, okay, enough. This far, no farther.
True. And I think it's great that you're saying that because I think a lot of men, especially even a lot of women out there listening tonight, understand what it means to be walked over in a relationship and for it not to be a two-way street. And some people say, oh, no relationship's a two-way street. Well, yeah, they are. And people give and take. But a lot of times, if you're only giving 20% and somebody else is giving 100%, that's not going to work out for you. And I think that's what's so important is to be able to stand up and realize there's more to life than this. And there's other things that you can do. You know, the last thing that I would like to bring up when it comes to if timing is right for you and how to know is that you actually realize when there's opportunity. And that's an interesting thing because a lot of times people misunderstand what opportunity is. People a lot of times think that when somebody's asking them to do something, sometimes they can just be putting you out of the way, just be giving you more things to do. But sometimes when people ask you if you want to do something, people normally sometimes see that as a burden or they're putting me out or, God, I got to do another favor. But a lot of times these particular things can actually be opportunities for you if you see them in the right light and in the right timing. However, when we're not in the right timing, we have a tendency of not accepting those opportunities and actually walking away from them thinking, oh, I can't believe that person wanted me to do this, or oh, that's just ridiculous, not realizing how timing actually creates this opportunity. And I guess if I could give an example, I would give you a really good example. On this show, we have people that I asked to come on this show, and I asked them to come on this show for a reason.
Right.
And we have Hollywood elites, and we have regular Joes, but it just depends on who I ask to come on the show. And occasionally I'll ask somebody, and it's usually in the local area where this show, this particular whatever, whichever one of these shows is broadcast. And that person, which is so funny, not many people know. They don't have a big following, and they'll look at you like, ah, I got to go out of my way and come on your show, and they never do.
Like you're burdening them.
I'm burdening them. Exactly, and it's like they don't realize the hundreds of thousands of followers we have just on social media alone, much less the people that listen to the show. And so it's like free advertising for them on a massive scale. However, we're burdening them. It's funny how, you know, Schwarzenegger and everybody else doesn't feel like we're burdening them. I think it's interesting how we've had a lot of people on here that are way big celebrities.
Yeah.
That we're not burdening. But it's all in the realm of opportunity. When you are ready to accept opportunity, you realize opportunity when it shows up. You understand it. It doesn't have to knock a secret knock or give you a secret handshake. It just shows up. And you can either decide to go down that road or not. And that's what's so interesting is that when you aren't in sync and your timing is incorrect, you're going to choose to turn back around and make the U-turn and take off.
That's right. And you know, not every opportunity, let me back up. You're not going to be able to take every opportunity that comes down the road. It just depends upon where you are in your life and what's going on in your life at that moment. Like you said at the beginning of the show, it's all about the timing. And the opportunity may not be right at this particular point, but that doesn't mean it won't be right, you know, say a year from now or whatever.
Perfect. And it's true. And also about timing, one last thing before we head out. When you're thinking about age, don't always think about yourself in a certain age and think, oh, well, I haven't done this by a certain age, therefore something's wrong with me. I haven't been married and it's XYZ age. I'm divorced and I'd like to get remarried and I'm XYZ age. Or I really am behind the eight ball in my career and I'm XYZ age. Try not to think about age as this appropriate number. Realize that timing comes when it shows up. You have to play a part in it. You have to see your part in the situation. You have to step up to the plate as well as recognize opportunity. But with that in mind, everything happens when it needs to happen. Have a great night. It was a great show, Bill.
Thank you very much, Ashley. I learned a lot as always.
So remember, timing is the most important equation to any relationship. Stay tuned. We have a great show for you. Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in 3 shakes.